Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
Well, I'm not a gardener. You all know that, right? There's no green thumb in Joe Case, but I've taken a recent interest in trees. A few weeks ago, I woke up on a Monday morning. I was just minding my own business, and I'm getting ready for work. And you may have seen this out on Facebook if you follow me on Facebook. But a huge section of one of my trees had fallen in the middle of the night, one of my Bradford pear trees. And I've got a picture of it here. It literally missed my garage by like 6 inches. And there was no wind. It was just a normal, calm night. There was no storm. The tree simply fell on its own weight in the middle of the night and came crashing down. Stephen, my son, who's home with us this summer, he was up at midnight, and Vicky and I were well past our bedtime, but when you're a kid right out of college, midnight's prime time, I guess. Stephen said he was in the kitchen, and he heard a crack, like a crack, and then he heard the crash. And I was like, so what did you do after that? And he goes, well, it was dark, so I couldn't see. It's like, did you think about going out and seeing what happened? He wasn't invested in my house. Remember last week? So as we're, Stephen and I are out the next night. I worked all day that Monday, and I came home from work, and he had gotten his grandma's chainsaw, Pastor Case with the chainsaw. These are scary times. We needed your prayers. But we're out there, we're cutting that tree back, and my neighbor, Jesse, looks over the fence. He's kind of like the guy on the Tim the Tool Time show. He's like, hey, neighbor. He's like, what you doing? I was like, well, the tree fell over, Jesse, and he's a great guy. And he's like, yeah, he goes, those Bradford pear trees. He's like, yeah, if you all know about trees, if you know about Bradford pears, and usually in a group this size, you'll know. He's like, those Bradford pears, the wood's really soft and it's really weak, and once they get so big, they just split and they fall on themselves. I didn't know that. I didn't know that, but apparently that's a thing. And then my buddy, who's a tree expert, he's the guy who comes down to check the tree out, because I'm like, okay, a quarter of the tree's fallen here, right? But the rest of it's there, and part of it's in my power lines. So if the rest of it comes down, we're out of electricity. So I had him come out. He's like, yeah, he's like, the whole thing's going to have to come down before it falls, and it does real damage. So we're going to lose that entire tree. And I'm sitting here going, if Bradford pear trees are known to fall on their own weight, why on God's green earth would anybody plant one in their backyard? I have three. They're great, beautiful shade trees. They're beautiful. In the springtime, they have these beautiful blooms on them. So they're really pretty in the spring. And then I'll be really easy. I mean, I've cleaned up after trees all my life, and these Bradford pear trees, it's really easy to kind of pick the leaves up, because they just kind of, they don't settle into the ground, and they're just easy to pick up in the fall. But at its core, this Bradford pear tree, all three of them in my backyard, they're weak. They're weak. And they don't even bear any fruit. It's a pear tree. No pears. Big pear tree, no pears, tons of falling lumber, wrong tree, wrong tree for me. So I want you to keep this image of my Bradford pear tree in your mind over the next couple of moments. This morning we're finishing up this series on these I am statements that Jesus has shared with his disciples, these statements of Christ throughout the book of John. We've been exploring how Christ's identity should be impacting our identity if we're truly following Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? You see, if we say we believe in Jesus, if we claim to follow him, it should have a dramatic impact on who we are. His identity starts impacting our identity. And if we're not changed, if we're not being changed in our behaviors, in our thoughts, and our attitudes, I'd hypothesize that we're probably not really following Jesus. We're just Christian in name. His identity should always be having an impact on our identity as we grow in our faith. And so today we're focused on the final I am statement. There are several of these. We've spent 8 weeks on this. Can you believe this? But it's been a great, helpful series for me. Hopefully it's been helpful for you. And I think each of these I am statements, whether he's the good shepherd or the way, the truth, and the life, look at it as kind of portraits. You know, when Drew graduated, we brought out all of his portraits for the class, for his pictures. And all those different portraits of Christ helped us understand who Jesus really is. So the context for John 15 this morning, as we look at it, John chapter 15, verse 1 through 8 is what we're going to focus on today. This is smack dab in the middle of the Jesus' last evening with the disciples. They had just finished up the Last Supper. And if you read in the last verse of chapter 14, Jesus says, "Let's get out of here." He says, "Come, let's leave." And there's a lot of speculation that they left the upper room and they actually headed across the way to the Mount of Olives and to the Garden of Gethsemane. And that's where they were kind of hanging out when Jesus is talking to them about this imagery about the vine. "I am the true vine." They're setting in a vineyard, possibly, as we're reading this. He says in John chapter 15, verse 1, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, and I'll remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches." Must be important. He said it twice, right? "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." So we've been following this formula over the past 7 weeks. Since Jesus says, "I am something," that means that there's an impact on each and every one of us personally, right? So here's the simple point this week in our sermon. You'll get it in one little nugget here. Since Jesus says, "I am the true vine," we can be empowered and enabled to do his will in our lives. Since Jesus says, "I am the true vine," if you're a follower of Jesus, you are enabled and empowered to do his will. So I want to take just a couple of moments just to kind of dissect this just a little bit and dig into this truth about Jesus saying, "I am the true vine." First of all, when I hear him say that, that makes me think that there are true vines. There's a true vine. One true vine, and there are many false vines. That's just a simple truth that I think we as followers of Jesus need to pay attention to. There are a lot of different trees out there on God's green earth. Not all trees are equal. Take my Bradford pears, for instance. They look nice, right? They bear no fruit. And they look big and strong, but in reality, they are so weak that they'll fall down on their own weight over time. They'll grow to a certain point, get big and be beautiful, but then they'll fall on their own weight. No wind, no storm. They just come crashing down on their own weight. Not all trees are equal out there. There are a wide selection to choose from. And spiritually speaking, I think it's important. You know, I would not consider a Bradford pear to be of the true vine. Because no fruit, and it's weak, and it falls on its own weight. It looks good, but it lacks strength. It looks pretty in the spring, but there's no fruit in the fall. And if I'm not careful, that tree could actually come down and crush me. As a matter of fact, when I'm out mowing my yard right now, I'm kind of looking at that tree like it's going to come and get me. Scary. Jesus is the true vine. He provides life-giving sap, life-giving nectar that provides strength, that provides security that provides confidence, that provides bountiful fruit. We need to be careful, church, which vine we connect our lives to. Amen? It's very easy to connect our lives to the wrong vine. We're going to be tempted in our walk with Jesus to connect our vine to false vines. We're going to be tempted to link up with a false vine. They'll look good, but they lead to disappointment, destruction, and possibly even death. They look pretty, they have flowers, but they bear no fruit, no lasting fruit for the kingdom. So we have to have discernment, church, about which vine we connect to. False vines, we talked about this last week. False vines are bad bets. They're bad investments. I've got these three trees in my backyard right now that look beautiful, but I can tell you in the next 3 or 4 years, they're all going to be gone because they're dangerous. They're going to fall on their own weight. Followers of Jesus will know the difference between the true vine and false vines. And I think that that is a kind of an awareness that we have to develop on a regular basis as we're walking with Jesus. Because it's very tempting for us to unconnect from the true vine and to plug into something false and be deceived. It looks good. The rationale in my mind says it's good, but it might not be good at all. As a matter of fact, it could bring destruction in our lives if we're not careful. So there's true vine, there's a true vine, and there are false vines that we have to be constantly on the lookout for. Second of all, this is the second truth. We need to be connected to the true vine. Jesus says it in this passage. We are not able to benefit from the life-giving sap of the true vine if we're not connected. We've got to be connected. It's like trying to use your cell phone without having a cell signal, right? We were on the way to my mom and dad's house Friday night, and we were driving through Christiansburg, Ohio, which is a metropolis if you've ever been through there. And I had to make a call for work, and I made the call. And as soon as I made the call, I said to the person who picked up the phone, I'm driving through Christiansburg. My cell phone signal may drop. So if something happens, I'll call you back. It's like trying to use your cell phone without a signal. It's like trying to use your stove without any electricity or any gas. You've got it there. It looks good. It's pretty. It ain't going to work if it ain't hooked up to the electricity or the gas. We've got a beautiful stove sitting in our kitchen right now. It won't cook a thing. Something's wrong with it. We haven't figured that out yet. We got a repair guy coming in to fix it. But without that inner energy working through it, it ain't cooking nothing. Pastor Vicky had to cook her cookies yesterday at the neighbor's house. It's like trying to start your car without the keys. You ever had one of those? You get in the car and you're like, I'm ready to go. I got the car. I'm in the seat behind the wheel. But my keys are in the house, so because my keys are in the house, can't drive the car because I don't have the key to put in the ignition, start the engine up, and make it go. We're not able to benefit from the life-giving sap of the true vine if we're not connected to the true vine. Since Jesus is the true vine, when we're connected to him, we receive life-changing power. And that's a really simple concept, but I think sometimes we think we can just go off and do our own thing outside of Christ and expect to live victoriously. And sometimes you can get a little far down the road on your own momentum, but if you're not really connected to Christ, you're going to fall flat on your face. You may fall fat on your face too. We've got to stay connected to the vine. I've been learning a lot about trees and vines this week as I've been on the internet. YouTube is just a plethora of wisdom. I mean, there's just a wealth of wisdom out on YouTube. And one of the things that I learned about was this whole concept of grafting trees. Anybody know about grafting trees in here? Got a couple people. They know about grafting trees. Anybody like apples? I love apples, right? The apples are good. So there's a lot of us who know about grafting. There's a lot of us who know about apples. I learned this week, and I didn't know this because I know nothing about plants. But I learned this week that I can take a carefully selected limb from a tree that produces apples that I like. And I can, if I do it right, if I take that limb, I can graft it into an apple tree that produces apples that I don't like. And with the proper care and with the proper cultivation over time, that limb on that tree of apples that I don't like will start producing apples on that limb that I like. Isn't that amazing? You get grafted into the tree and then it starts producing fruit. And in the same way, God wants to graft us into the true vine. He wants to graft us into the true vine. He wants to connect us to the true vine so that we can be enabled and empowered to produce true fruit. Do you believe that? He wants to do that. Apart from Christ, we're just kind of existing in this life. We're just kind of ticking the days by apart from Christ. We're living this life and we may be semi-productive and we may be getting stuff done. But apart from Christ, we're really just existing until we die. We may produce some fruit, but it isn't the best type of fruit that we're capable of producing. You have so much more potential when you're in Christ. In Christ, Christ connects us to the true source of life. He connects us to the true source of life. We are meant to be filled with true life so that we can bear true fruit. As a disciple of Christ, that is God's plan for your life. Do you know that? He wants you to be connected to the true vine so that you can bear true fruit. Fruit for the kingdom, but we have to be connected to the vine in order to do that. And that really leads me to my final little point this morning. We have to choose the true vine, not the false vines. We need to be connected. We need to be grafted into the true vine so that we can bear true fruit. And finally, as part of this picture that Jesus paints, as he's saying, I am the true vine, we have to yield to the ongoing pruning of the gardener, of God, in our lives. So sometimes this whole concept of pruning is all about making us more fruitful. Sometimes to become more fruitful, God needs to cut away old dead branches that are in our lives so that new life can start growing out of us. In the case of my Bradford pears, we're going to have to prune the whole thing from the ground up and start something new because they're weak trees. So when I thought about this concept of pruning this week, I kind of slice it three different ways. First of all, pruning is seasonal. Pruning is a seasonal thing. When you go out, when I went out to YouTube, they told me that you only do this during certain seasons. And you don't prune the same branch every season. You're usually cutting a branch away so that a new branch can grow, so something else can grow. So pruning is seasonal. Different branches are pruned in different seasons. God may prune you. He may prune me in a specific area of my life, in a particular season of my life. I know for me, when Pastor Vicky and I were just getting out on our own and in our 20s, God was really speaking to me in my walk with him about my checkbook. He was really speaking to me about my finances because at the time I wasn't tithing. I was a Christian. I went to church, but we didn't have a lot of money. You know, we didn't have a lot of resource. And so he was really pruning me about that. And I think that one of the ways we demonstrate our faith is by submitting our checkbook to God. That's just part of what it means to be a disciple of Christ. Tithing's biblical. You know, people like to debate it, but it's just a biblical thing. It's like, is your checkbook your God or is God your God? I mean, that's what the whole point there was. And God was confronting me with this challenge. He's like, you know, Joe, the pruning shears were out. And he's like, you really need to surrender, you know, your checkbook to me. And he was speaking to me about it. And I'll be really honest with you. I was struggling with it. I was totally struggling with the reality. I was being pruned. Those shears were coming in and pruning, no fun some of the time. I was being pruned, but what I found was that, you know, I didn't want to do it, but I knew he was talking to me about it, and I was just like, okay, God, I'm going to surrender. I'm going to try this out. No deals. I'm negotiating in my mind and kind of going through all the different things that we go through in our mind. And so I just kind of submitted, in that moment to God at that time. I was like, here's one step. You know, just one step. And a funny thing happened when I took that step to submit myself to that pruning, I didn't become rich. Now, some people will preach to you if you watch on television or whatnot, if you give $50, you're going to be blessed with God by all this money. It didn't happen to me because that's not what it's about. It's not about becoming rich. But as I was faithful and as I was obedient in that area of my life that God was pruning me in, which was not fun and it was difficult and it was hard, but as I was faithful, what I found is that God was faithful to me. As I demonstrated my faithfulness to God in that area of my life, He was faithful to me. And I'll be really honest with you. I was worried about making ends meet because when you're not making a lot of money, tithing's a big deal. It is. I know. Been there. It's hard. And I struggled. Boy, I tell you what, you talk about a spiritual battle, putting that pen in my hand and writing that check out in that checkbook. Whoo, boy, that was hard. It was hard, but I was submitting myself to the pruning knife of the gardener. I was worried about making ends meet, and it was just hard to do. We didn't get rich. But you know what I did find is that as I acted in faith with my checkbook, every single time we had a paycheck and we had to pay that tithe check, God always provided. Sometime right down to the penny. It's just there just always seemed to be enough to cover what was going on. So as I was faithful to God, God was faithful to my household. And it wasn't about me getting rich. It was about me growing in my faith and depending on God to actually in real life provide for my every need. It was a spiritual growth opportunity in that season of my life. God was snipping away and I was going, kind of running from the pruning shears. He provided. I grew in my faith. And what I found is that as I submitted myself to the pruning shears and allowed God to do that work and I yielded and I was obedient, my commitment to Jesus as a follower grew. I was laying down an anchor. As I laid down the idol of my checkbook, I was saying, no, God, I really trust you. And sometimes it was a, oh my goodness, how are we going to make this meet the bills this month? But he's been faithful. And that was what happened in that season of my life. He provided. And you know what? Now he's pruning me on other stuff. That was 20 years ago. Hashtag 48 is great is upon the Case household now. We both turned 48 in the past couple of weeks. And you're like, you young whippersnappers. Yeah. But now he's pruning me on other stuff. And I'm sitting there going, hey, get those pruning shears away from me. You know, I get snipped. Somebody might get hurt here. Pruning, it's seasonal. He works on us in different areas of our life. And I would ask you to reflect on your own life this morning and think about times in your past where Jesus has been speaking to your heart and God's wanted to prune you in a certain area. And you either took care of that or maybe he's still chasing you around. I don't know. And it doesn't have to be tithing. That's just the story that came to mind for me. But it happens that as we find ourselves in particular times of life, the Holy Spirit works in our hearts and our minds that way. So pruning is seasonal. Pruning can also be painful. Pruning can be painful. It's hard to submit yourself to the pruning shears because those blades are sharp. That could hurt. When God comes in and cuts away at things near and dear to our hearts, it can be painful. That whole ordeal over my struggle with giving, I don't want to minimize it. It was hard. It was painful. I'll be really honest. I loved my money. I liked it. I needed to pay my bills. I needed to feed my kids. Similac ain't cheap. That money was mine. I earned it. That was my attitude about it. But you know, it was how God was talking to me. He was like getting right to the core of my very being. He was getting to the very core of what connected my ability to have trust and faith in Him. It was my checkbook at that time. And I knew that I knew in my heart of hearts that I had to be obedient to Him on that thing, on that issue, even though it was painful. Or it was going to cost me my relationship with Him. Because the Bible says, you know, you can't serve God or mammon. You can't serve God or money. But I knew. It was just kind of like the Holy Spirit was speaking to me. And He was just kind of like, Joe, it's me or your wallet.
What's it going to be? Are you serious about this relationship? Pruning is seasonal. Pruning is painful sometimes, but pruning is also necessary for us to grow so we can experience the fullness of life that God wants to give to each and every one of us. When God prunes us, when he prunes us, he's making way for new growth to happen in our lives. He's making way for new fruit to be born out of our lives. He's making the way for new life to come out of our lives into the lives of other people around us. Otherwise, as Jesus kind of alludes to in his little discussion with the disciples, those old lifeless branches, they're literally sucking the true life out of us spiritually if we don't allow God to prune those things away. Those old things that we're hanging on to, oh, but I like that branch, even though it's dead and it's just sitting there. It looks nice. Even though we like that branch, it's sucking the life out of our ability to grow. Do you want to grow in Jesus? Do we really want to grow? God doesn't just prune us regarding our checkbooks and our banking accounts either. You know, I mean, he may be wanting to take the pruning shears to your TV watching habits. Maybe there's a little bit too much TV and not enough Bible time. I don't know. How's he speaking to you? Maybe he wants to take the pruning shears to your attitude towards a neighbor. Maybe towards somebody who's hurt you in the past. They've done you wrong. Maybe he wants to take the pruning shears to your pride. And he's saying, you need to humble yourself. You need to take a little dose of humility in order to grow in me. You need to lay down yourself and allow your pride to be pruned. Maybe he's pruning us with regard to our priorities. You know, I always look at my priorities and I'm like, where am I spending my time? And where am I spending my money? And then where am I spending my energy? If you answer those three questions, you will quickly identify what your priorities are. And we're all in different seasons of our life, so we all got different priorities, right? How is God speaking to us about our priorities? It's going to look different for each and every one of us because we're all on our own little personal walk with Jesus. But I'm telling you, if we don't yield to the pruning shears, we'll never be empowered or enabled to do God's will in our lives. Because those dead branches are going to be sucking the life out of us. That's a hard truth. That is hard to hear. But Jesus loves us so much, he wants to give us true life from the true vine. And he's like, if only you'll trust me, I will be faithful to you. He says, I am the true vine, and because he is the true vine, we, his followers, can be enabled and empowered to live victoriously. Aren't you thankful? But only if we choose the true vine, and only if we are connected to the true vine, and only if we yield to the pruning shears of the master gardener. So really, as we reflect on this passage this morning, as we reflect on this portrait of Jesus Christ who says, I am the true vine, and you are the branches, and my Father's the gardener, I think we're presented with just some real personal questions. Are we really connected to the true vine this morning? Or have we somewhere along the way lost our way and we've allowed our lives to be connected to some false vine that's out there? It happens to the best of us. But I've got good news for you this morning. There's always opportunity to reconnect to the true vine. Amen? Amen? Have we yielded our hearts to Jesus in this? Are we experiencing the life-giving power of the vine? If not, where does God want to prune us? Are you willing to be pruned? That takes some courage. It takes some courage to put your life under the pruning shears of the master gardener. And are we willing to be pruned where he wants to snip away? Where is he talking to you in your life right now about pruning? Because I can tell you, if you're on this journey with Jesus, the master gardener loves you and he knows what needs to be cut away from your life so that you can experience true life and can experience growth in your journey. You do not age out of this. You do not retire out of this. You're not too young for this. This is what it means to be on this journey with Jesus, where we are connected to the vine and he's always just kind of coming in and he's cultivating us so that we can be maximized for the most growth potential, the most fruit that we possibly can be. If you ever looked at a vineyard and you looked at this picture of a gardener coming in and taking care of the vine, they come in and it's a very deliberate, ongoing daily process where they're like just making sure everything's right. Does it have enough water? Are we cutting away the dead so that there could be growth there? This is a daily thing. This is the picture of what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus. Do you trust the master gardener? Is the key question this morning. Do we trust God?
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.